Including Honorable Prisma, good afternoon. My name is Kana Pilani Makake, the reporter for the chairperson is not here. I'm going to be chairing this meeting until such time that the chairperson can be here. Honorable President,
thank you. I think the correct procedure is to elect the chair.
That is divine. We can do it.
Thank you. I propose Mr. Hall.
Okay. Thank you very much. Happy Honorable Breitenbach. Okay, and let me hand over to
Good afternoon, Honorable Members and Members of the Public. The chairperson of the committee for running late should be giving us trouble. In terms of the vote of the National Assembly, in the absence of the chairperson, the committee has elected 100 members as an acting chairperson. So I am going to open the floor for nominations. Honorable Mutabo. Is there any seconder? Okay. Any further nominations?
None.
Okay, in the case, can Honorable Majari please take
the podium.
Thank you.
Thank you very much for electing me. Can you now proceed to business? We are continuing with the hearing on criminal matters, amendment of 2015. We are this afternoon going to be having three hearings. In front of me, I've been given a list of the entities that will present before us. We've got ESCOM, which will be represented by MS Neo Sulanku and Doe Bishop, plus Lisa Malika, or Lisa Malika. Mm-hmm. And then we've got Salva, represented by Rana Rimela Cizre, and Lorette Trillo. And then we've got Legal Aid South Africa, represented by Cordelia Robinson. So we'll actually be listening to your submissions in that order, beginning with ESCOM. Over to you, ESCOM.
Thank you. Madam Chair, my name is Neo Sulanku. I am the General Manager of Legal and Compliance at ESCOM. The purpose of us coming to present to you is we were invited after we submitted comments. The committee by now has seen our comments, but we take the committee through our comments. And the basis of our comments is a request that the committee considers positively our comments so as to be able to reintroduce into the session group electricity theft. You will recall, Madam Chair, that the Electricity Act of 1987 had a section 27, subsection 2 and 3, which basically dealt with or created the offense of theft of electricity. And that was taken out of the statute book, I think in 2000, or in the early part of 2000. And ever since then, we've been trying to reintroduce the crime of theft of electricity into the statute book. And the proposed amendments are basically directed specifically that purpose. And the driver thereof, as was shown in the presentation, is the fact that ESCOM suffers immeasurable losses. That goes up to 4.7 billion on an annual basis because of electricity theft, or what we deem, or what we term the electricity theft. The proposed amendments, Madam Chair, are as follows. Amending the definition of basic services that appears in the bill. What we recommend is to delete the words that read as follows: interference, which Commission has traded the livelihood, well-being, daily operation for economic activity of the public. The reason why we ask for the division is because its deletion or rather its retention will make the burden of proof more onerous. This we are drawing from section 27 to N3 of the ordinance, which also made the burden of proof more onerous on the side of the person that would have been charged with the crime of electricity theft at the time. So we are trying very quickly just to repeat what we had in the electricity theft at the time. What we propose is that the definition, the amended to its basic services means a service provided by the public or private sector and includes a service related to energy, transport, water, sanitation, and accommodation, and we left with the takeout the words that we have read out to the committee. The second proposed amendment is to include the word or diverting from to the definition of essential infrastructure, so that the definition is as follows. Essential infrastructure means any installation, major device, basic service systems, machinery, facility or system, whether publicly or privately owned, the loss or damage of or the tampering with or diverting from which they interfere with the provision or distribution of a basic service to the public. The reason for that, and also to include measuring service and also to include basic service systems and machines to the definition, is largely because what we tend to be is perpetrated by all of those requested inclusion or amendments. People divert from our electricity, providing infrastructure. They also divert from our meters, which are our measuring devices, and they also divert from what we call basic service dispensing machines. So what that amendment would allow us to achieve is to achieve the crime of theft of electricity. So when we divert, we can then charge you with theft of electricity by diverting from infrastructure that provides an essential service. We've also requested that included as a defined term with the renting of or stripping of a basic service from essential infrastructure by means of. We've already indicated that above. And also to include in the offences that relate to essential infrastructure the word steals, so that it is included as an offence now that any person who unlawfully and intentionally tampers with or steals or colludes or diverts, which is another amendment that we request into 3C of the bill, and who knows, or does not have known that it is essential infrastructure that person will be guilty of an offense and liable on condition to appear not within 30 years. I think that is already in the bill.
Yeah.
What we also would like the committee to consider is insofar as the sentence is concerned, or insofar as the proposed sentence is concerned, to also include fines. We were recommending that the following penalties to a first offender be included. 15,000 for a first offender, 30,000 for a second offender, and 50,000 for a third or subsequent offender. We've had a numerous debate internal to ECOM, and one of the things that we post submitting the comments that we thought we would also ask the committee to consider subsequent to our hearing internal. our conversation that we're considering including those penalties so that the first offender is subjected to 150,000 fine, second offender to a 300,000 fine, a third of subsequent offender to a 600,000 fine. What we're not trying to do is to prescribe, what we're trying to do is to create a polar ambit for the prescribing officer to be able to give them exercise discretion. And Madam Chair, this emanates from what we internal to AIRCOM know and what we've seen in the manner of the losses that we have suffered. You may ask the question that how have others been convicted for it to be fair? There has been a case where two gentlemen were convicted for electricity theft. But that was on the basis that they were part of a syndicate that were found to have unlawfully obtained electricity dispensing machines that belonged to AIRCOM and then sold tokens to the community. And the sentences that were imposed are indicative of how serious the problem is, because the judge in the particular case also articulated the seriousness of the scenario. Both of them were sentenced to a total of, I think, 168 years imprisonment. So it just goes to show the veracity of the problem that AIRCOM is facing. Insofar as numbers are concerned, and you've already alluded that on an annual basis, the losses that we suffer are to the tune of about 4.7 billion annually. The presentation largely deals with what we've alluded to, but is already in our comments, but it also tells you that there's about 8 different ways of stealing theft, loosely speaking. And the temporary that we're talking about and what we're trying to stem is not only done by customers, it's done by all levels of people, customers, syndicates, and also we've also lately come to realize that some of our staff members are involved, and we're not discriminating insofar as the proposed sentences. We want everybody to be treated equally, even if you're a member of AIRCOM. If you're found to be stealing electricity, you should accept the same. The message that we want to carry across to you. I don't know if you want to take you through the different types of temperament that we've seen out in the when our people go out in the streets to find where we've got pictures of those that we can show to the community. Doug will take you through those pictures, Madam Chair, that are on the left of the community.
Madam Chair, members, the first case study I want to take you through is a case that we got information from a farmer about someone who offered their service to tamper with electrical installations, and we set up an operation with organized crime of SAPS, and these gentlemen, two gentlemen, arrived and met with the farmer in inverted commas, who was actually a police captain acting as the farmer. And we set up the installations to enable this operation, and they went to the farm. They charged 10,000 rand per installation to tamper with the meters. That whole exercise took them 30 minutes. They bragged that they operate throughout the country and do residential properties, lodges, farms, businesses, industry, whatever it is, and they make a living out of it. They were subsequently arrested, and the case, they were arrested in December 2008. The case was finalized in Lydenburg court last year, October. The one suspect turned state witness, the other was found guilty. They were charged with 37 counts of fraud, theft, malicious damage to property. The theft charges, because of the holes in the act were not, they were found not guilty, but they were found, the subject was found guilty of fraud charges, sentenced to seven years imprisonment in January 2015. The magnitude of it in that instance, we identified that they had been tampering from at least 2002. In one instance, a farmer took a bond, 1.7 million, on his property to pay for the lost revenue to Eskom as a result of the manipulation of his meters. So in that instance, we find that we have many of these type examples, and this was one example that we pursued criminally, and we did get success, but we feel that the amendments to the Act, or the proposed amendments to the Act, will greatly enhance the ability of municipalities and Eskom to actually prosecute for this theft, which is really a burden on us as an economy in South Africa, and we estimate that the theft losses are well in excess of 10 billion per annum, which is a fairly substantial value, and the only way to deal with it is to systematically address it. We have got a number of other cases that are currently in the courts and in progress, and in many instances the farmers, one farmer has agreed to pay a 3 million for his lost revenue, others are running to the million. So if we take these as individual instances and we multiply it, in Eskom alone we have in excess of 900,000 conventional meters, the loss or potential loss is hugely substantial. I don't know if in the pictures, what's interesting to see is on the left, the first picture is a picture of the meter which was duly sealed, the meter, when it after it was tampered, that seal was removed and a like seal was replaced. The second meter we had set up differently, and the second meter had a different seal. They didn't replace it with the same seal that they had done originally, they replaced it with a like seal. So to an untrained eye, it is very, very difficult to identify these actual losses. The only way is to systematically audit every single meter and test the functionality of its meter. The syndicates are becoming more and more sophisticated in their operations, and in the 8 years I've been busy with this, the number of different modus operandis have increased from a half a dozen when we first started dealing with this to over 80. So it's an ever-increasing problem that we've got to deal with, and we believe legislation, the minor amendments that are proposed, will greatly enhance the ability to prosecute these offenders. I don't know, Chief, if you would like me to go through a couple of other examples of those satisfactory. Maybe I can just flip to one, just to give an indication as to the magnitude. Is we recently had a shopping mall that was tampered in, and we've dealt with it, and I just want to quickly run through that one, which is the last slide, and we see that this tampering, this shopping mall, had three different tampers on it, marked 1, 2, and 3, over a period of 6 months. The second and third tampering is specifically a serious concern with safety, as it was done on the full-mounted current transformer, voltage transformer unit. So this customer ended up paying Eskom just over R1 million in terms of the manipulation of the loss of it. So it just again proves that it's happening across all aspects of the business. Thank you.
Thank you. Thanks, Manager. And the problem is we can recover, but we can't prosecute for that. And that's the problem, because what we're trying to do is to get to the root of the difficulty for theft, but people don't do this. At that point, there's also a safety risk to how these people go about tempering and shorting the interaction. Some of the cases that we see of people being electrocuted emanate from trying to short some of our units or some of our wires.
Madam Chair, how can we find the losses with the impact and the veracity of this? Eskom is actually buys plus minus 150,000. $150,000 to $300,000 households per annum within the range of 4 billion. Now, from our perspective, the seriousness of this is that we are depriving plus minus 300,000 households of electricity because of this crime that we perceived. That's how serious it is to our children.
Thank you very much.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I'm going to open for questions and comments from members. I will recognize first Honorable Mpumlana, Honorable Horn, Honorable Bongo, Honorable Mutapu, in that order.
Thank you. I'm a bit worried. You seem to be making the New Zealand people from the shacks you bind them together, because there's a lot of electricity that is stolen by people who don't even have money, and you say they must take 30 years in prison or 60,000 years money fine. Is that not too much? Secondly, can you show me how ordinary crime of theft cannot be covered if this theft of excess cannot be covered just by that? Because in that way there can be some kind of a discussion with the magistrate. Where are the flaws in that? And can we see if we can see the cracks in that? How is the ordinary crime of theft covering that? These are the two. It seems to me, maybe I'm wrong, sir. It seems to me that you are concentrating on the big guns, but it affects also the ordinary people. And so I think that flexibility should be left with the
Thank you, Honorable Hon.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just want ECOM's comment as to the proposal regarding the basics, definition of basic services. Because the way I understood it in the original bill, it was framed in a specific way, not really to define basic services, but to define basic services in relation to the aim of the bill, namely to protect critical infrastructure. And to my mind now, if we take away a portion of the definition which ultimately talks to why infrastructure will be critical, and we take the definition as proposed by him, it on the one hand does not deal with basic services anymore, and on the other hand may open up to a situation where something more than critical infrastructure or the theft or criminal activity in relation to something more than critical infrastructure may be targeted. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Horn. Honorable Bongo.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair. I think I would like to welcome the recommendation. I just have a feeling that this thing is long overdue. I think we need to move with the speed of mirage in terms of implementing the proposal. And I think that those are the comments. I'm not quite satisfied with the presentation because we have seen how this thing is being manipulated and the indicator on the issue. So I think we need to send a very serious message to the people that this is a very serious crime and it's really depriving a lot of our people electricity. So I think we must just take it to Parliament as soon as yesterday. The Chair, thanks.
Thank you, Honorable
Mutapu. Oh, thank you, Chairperson. thank you, Chairperson. I'm covered, sir. But around basic service, sir. Thank you.
Can you respond, please?
Let me start with the issue of fines and the proposed penalties. What we know is that the presiding officer has a discretion. What we're trying to do is just to widen the scope of his discretion in proposing the fine. And we're proposing the number that we said should be increased. We're not saying we're taking away that discretion, particularly because we know and understand that some of the people that we find temporary are old grannies who don't do it themselves. They get people unbeknown to them to do this for them. So the intention is not to send grannies to prison, but at least to punish them. The presiding officer has a discretion, and the discretion, we only are increasing the discretion by including the penalties, because we looked at the amendment, it did not provide for the penalties, it just provided for the years. We're going to try to strike the balance, but we also are cognizant of the fact that there's also big conglomerates that do this, and hence the request to increase the numbers. 250,000, 300,000, 800,000, but that does not mean the downside that has been taken away. Insofar as theft is concerned, the problem that we have every time we try to prosecute on the basis of ordinary theft is that the argument is that theft can only be committed where the thing that is stolen is a corporeal, something that you can touch. Mm. And because electricity can't be touched, you cannot steal it. The case that I alluded to where people were convicted for a total of under 58 years, the presiding judge even made comments to say, you know, because we are now living in a technologically savvy world, we may want to direct our jurisprudence along those lines where corporeal and incorporeal sentences as the same purposes of that. But as the law stands now, you can't steal something that you can't touch. So that's why we are proposing that the law be amended to allow us to at least have an offense that deals with theft of electricity. With regard to the definition of basic services, Madam Chair, what we are trying to assist with is provide a situation where when you have to prosecute for tampering, you are not presented with a burden sum or with a cumbersome burden of proof. If you keep the words that we propose that should be removed from the definition, you would have to also prove that this which has been tampered with or this basic service that has been provided for you to be able to convict him, also prove that the interference thereof was intended to prejudice livelihood, well-being, daily operation or economic activity of the public. You would not only have to prove that there was an interference or there was a tampering or there was a diversion from the basic service. So what we're trying to do is to minimize the burden of proof by requesting that the words that we pointed out to be removed from the definition.
Thank you very much for the presentation. I think the members are satisfied, besides there's no more help. It feels like one other area that is much more concerning of chaos is we're not really making direct reference to.
Madam Chair, we did not make direct reference to chaos because we thought that it's covered somewhere else. What we were concerned with is this particular lack of theft of electricity, which was removed from the statute. It was there before 2000, it was then removed. So that was our focus. Thanks.
Thank you very much. We will then... go on, Arabin Tangana.
How do you measure this term? I steal electricity from you by taking the metal number of pages out of me paying. How do you know how much I've stolen?
Madam Chair, Doug will explain, but it's a technical process that you take the meters through that allows you to see how much could have been built, which was not built. How they then tempo the meters, they slow down the meter so that it does not give you proper accurate readings, and that you can pick up with the technical process that can articulate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Yes, we've developed a number of different models that deal with different scenarios, and we believe we've got a recipe that is 98-99% accurate, and to date we've been successful with in excess of 96-97% of our recoveries based on that safe model. And it depends on the situation and the circumstance and the scenario. We can use historic trend analysis to determine consumption. We can use future trend analysis. If we've got a balanced load installation and one phase is out, we can use what was used on the other phases. In some instances, we even use the meter error percentage, and we apply that to determine the loss. And a lot of it is a data analysis exercise where we determine the value. And I must admit, we've been exceptionally successful in terms of determining those lost values.
Are you answered on that?
Yes, it's a matter of evidence.
Okay, thank you. Can we proceed now to regulate South Africa?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Our presentation is very, very short. Our committee, Regulate South Africa, recognises the importance of essential infrastructure in providing basic services to the public and agrees that there is an unacceptably high incidence of crime relating to essential infrastructure in the Republic, which poses a risk to, among others, public safety, electricity supply, communication and transportation. Thus, Legal Aid South Africa welcomes legislation that will deal more effectively with essential infrastructure-related offences, where these are as a result of organised criminal activity. We submit that the provisions of Clause 3 should not be used to deter legitimate service delivery projects. Thus, the creation of the offence created in Clause 3 is welcomed, provided that this is limited to organised crime, where the perpetrators have a deliberate intent to tamper with essential infrastructure, which is defined as follows. Essential infrastructure means any installation, structure, etc. And tamper means to include to alter, cut, disturb, etc. in terms of asset in 4.3. It is, however, asked permission that the imposition of discretionary minimum sentences for essential infrastructure related offences is a severe form of punishment. We therefore have our reservations on minimum sentencing and the severity of sentencing in instances where a minor offence is committed. We similarly cannot agree with provisions of Clause 4, which makes all offences of Clause 3, no matter how minor, fall under Schedule 5 for the purposes of bail. Nor can we agree with the provisions of Clause 6, which makes all offences of Clause 3, no matter how minor, subject to minimum sentencing. And we refer to the comments of Chapman and P in the case of State versus Makwanyani, 1993-3, SFC 91 at paragraph 122-123 stated as follows. Paragraph 122, the greatest deterrent to crime is the likelihood that offenders will be apprehended, convicted and punished. It is that which is presently lacking in our criminal justice system. And it is at this level as projecting the course of crime that the state must seek to combat lawlessness. Paragraph 123. In the debate as to the deterrent effect of the death sentence, the issue is sometimes dealt with as if the choice to be made is between the death sentence and the murder going unpunished. That is, of course, not so. The choice to be made is between putting the criminal to death and subjecting the criminal to the severe punishment of long term of imprisonment, which, in an appropriate case, could be a sentence of life imprisonment. Both are sentenced, and the question is whether the possibility of being sentenced to death rather than being sentenced to life imprisonment has a marginally greater deterrent effect, and whether the Constitution sanctions the limitation of life effectively by. It is our submission that whilst in certain cases sentences of life imprisonment may be causal, the current system of minimum sentencing as set up in Act 105 of 1997 is similarly in and of itself not sufficient deterrent, and that indeed the greatest deterrent crime is the likelihood that offenders will be apprehended, convicted and punished. If you may so that what is currently lacking in our criminal justice system, and it is at this level, and through judging the causes of crime, that the state must seek to combat lawlessness. Conclusion is, subject to what he said above, Legal Aid South Africa welcomes any proposal to curb crimes related to essential infrastructure in the Republic of South Africa. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you very much, Legal Aid South Africa. I'll open for comments and questions and welcome the Chairperson of the Committee, Marabu Mathole Motega, to come and take over his seat.
Comments and questions. Honorable Mutapo, Honorable Bonga.
Thank you, Chairperson.
Honorable Breitenbach, I'm back with order. Honorable Mthapo.
I was thinking that Legal Aid South Africa will come up with some proposals. So that if it's not just to say that we sort of object or don't agree with whatever is contained in the or the presentation by ESCO per se. So I think maybe it would be better for Legal Aid South Africa to come up with proposals. Thank you.
Legal Aid South Africa, it's not true that also as a committee we value your insight. So it would really not be helpful just to be opposed, but we need your advice, your insight, so that we can move forward together. Honorable Bongo and Honorable Brayden, in that order.
Just like I said earlier, we need to pass this thing as early as yesterday. And I think the submission by Legal Aid is getting too academic when we want to be practical about the problems that are on the ground. So this is a very serious crime in general. I think you can even classify it under economic crime. Now, to be academic, when we want practical solution, I think it will give us problems because this affects what we call service delivery on the ground. If you steal electricity, then people will protest against you, against us, the government. So if they protest against us, then you know what happens. Right? So we want to suppress any form of academic debate at this stage. We want practical things so that we move faster. So if there are any proposals, because however minor, if you just one household, if you do it in one household or you are a syndicate, you must categorize as the same, because this is a very serious one. The intention of the legislature in this instance is to send a very serious message. So let us be less academic so that we can push. I think this is progressive in the sense that it will assist us in terms of renting out the service liver that are on the ground. So I think my advice to legal aid is that as much as I appreciate, maybe just send us your proposal around which how you want us to amend. But as we move forward, we'll just incorporate them as we move forward. But we don't appreciate academic discussion at this point. We want to be as practical as possible, Chair. Thanks.
Maybe we should just say that it should become academic, should be for the purpose of laying the foundation for a practical solution. So let's not just be academic, let's be academic and then move to practical. I think as Honorable Ongo is saying, we want to address a real situation on the ground and we need your input. Honorable Bredenbach.
Thank you, Chair. I'm lucky. Previous speaker, I found the legal aid legal aid solicitation, I don't think it's responsible for drafting the legislation. They interpret up what their difficulties are with this particular piece of proposed legislation, and I find their submissions quite contrasting as well. They have to deal with the fallout of this legislation. They defend people. The bells are full. Many of the instances of causing a problem with food bills, and they've highlighted all of those shit first. So I've strictly found the submission perfectly concise, perfectly understandable, and as I said, quite refreshing on this.
Can one Berenberg be in order? You can speak to me while we commit. And in view of the spirit that we've adopted in the committee, say the past, when we're dealing with legislation, with regards to every presenter to come up with the proposals on how you deal with the situation, because we're dealing with practical things. So we're assisting the committee. We can't come to the committee and lament and prejudice, but we want to say, okay, this is how it must look like. This is what we propose. So you must be progressive in thinking on your own better.
Yeah, I think that's not a reflection on the officials of the order means that there must be a chair that both of you should speak through, and I think that the officials from legal aid can listen for themselves, hear for themselves. I think they have heard what Honorable Bonga is saying. They don't need anybody to defend them. I think at the end of the day, we want a solution, and we gave them time to address us because we believe they can help us to reach a solution that will take the country forward. Honorable Bonga.
I think I appreciate what the legal aid is trying to do. But I think when you pick up somebody, a child is using a shampoo, they are using the penultimate what he's saying is that he must make a distinction between manure, litter, and people who are in the township who are taking up the year. Like in soil, they don't want to pay for that, or whatever. What I'm trying to make some kind of a system. And if you are saying, you see, it's a blanket thing, anybody who is somebody who says, it's a good man, must go to prison for at least up to 10 years. No, what I'm trying to say is that they somehow they have to make some kind of a decision. I think this is what they are. Essential. So, let me not say it in all the words. So.
I may be disadvantaged because I didn't listen to the input that was made. But I think we must distinguish between the problem of overcrowding in the prison and what we are dealing with. For our purpose here, we really have to look at the desirability or otherwise of the bill before us. So is there anyone from legal aid who wants to respond to what has been said?
Thank you, Mr. Chief. At this date, all comments are noted. We will take it back to our Austrian Department of National Office. Thank you, Mr. Chief.
Thank you very much. We really appreciate your being here and your contribution for the service. Okay. It's good to see you in another space, not as a mayor.
Thank you very much.
Okay, that's right, open. Thank you
very much. Let me start by thanking you very much for the opportunity given to us to come and get with regard to criminal management. We actually sent, we actually made a urgent submission to the committee on what platform is that we are going to be able to do with the committee. There was a little thing in the committee that we did see that totality is that and vandalism. After this one point that one honorable member has already indicated. It's also the front quarter of land, which the full strategies come down and collude to many activities and according to what is meant for the and that is our mega understanding as the key of government that will actually cause distraction to our business when people actually feel it service and service delivery infrastructure. Sarada, we therefore welcome the criminal law committee, which seeks to involve small, serious crimes and some individuals convicted of cable and other infrastructure theft and vandalism. One part in the legislation will go a long way in addressing some of the challenges faced by business funds in terms of the infrastructure theft. In addition to the theft of infrastructure, the funds also presents the challenge of legal use of 72 to 100. In terms of the actual water and electricity, also has a limiting impact on the facility environment and ultimately communities. In fact, the case in point is a criminal file which reported that where there are approximately 100,000 legal connections in electricity connections. In that municipal area, the loss is approximately 150 million in RAM. Yeah, what to do with this legal connection that is becoming a very big problem for the family. Therefore, I have been two recommendations to continue in relation to the amendment. One is that the program will therefore put that the criminal amendment be broken to deal not only with damage to the country, but also to deal with the problem of water and electricity. Isn't that what I was saying? We need to look broadly at the fundamental and depth of certain different factors, not just some delivery, but the same delivery as a woman. In this regard, we propose that the tribunal to address the legal connection for a lawful use. Let me explain. We are saying that one process is actually, connected illegally. So whatever they use, the product that they use out of that illegal connection should also be regarded as unlawfully conducted. So for example, if a community member connects legally electricity to a borehole, we also say that the water that comes from out of that particular borehole should be regarded as unlawfully used because the connection is there. That is what we're proposing. Certainly, this is an amendment in the Parliament's boot, second Parliament's boot act of 2009, while criminal matters amendment did address the capital infrastructure, the policy of solar infrastructure also needs to be strengthened, particularly in terms of the solar infrastructure. The Parliament can play more effective roles in this regard. The last recommendation we want to make to the committee is with regard to strengthening the policy of solar infrastructure. In order to strengthen the policy of stolen infrastructure and to combat the drain of stolen infrastructure, we propose that the power granted to the police in terms of the second and good act of 2009 which includes the rights and interests and interests and still of be extended to the letter of police officers and party commanders. We propose that the policy granted to the police officers in chapter 8 of the second and good act of 2009, the experience of the police officers and traffic officers. As and when they come across such kind of case, they don't have to actually wait for police. Municipalities can then ensure that they activate the services of traffic police to actually within the reach of the municipality and make sure police actually act in that regard. I want to say that we actually support the bill. We actually want to the bill. We made our submission. We think that the bill will go a long way in terms that we actually think this is what is coming. So we came to the MCOP earlier in the year to make the presentation on the very same subject. And we've raised a number of areas that we think are of great concern as the SSP of government. I think that's how we wanted to go with the committee. Thank you very much.
What is the your view on the situation where you take Zanin? There is Zanin Dam, there is Mavita Dam, there is Ebenezer Dam, but there's a township like Hapan which would spend a month without water. Are we not, by failing to provide them with water, when water is in abundance, tempting them to commit illegal action? So should we rush to extend this to water before we satisfy ourselves that on our side as government, we are doing enough not to tempt people to do illegal?
Thank you very much. That is what we have raised in the Department of Water Access and Sanitation. And for situations where we are actually contracting lines of water, and you have a situation where the bulk water supply of water passes through a particular village to other villages on the other side of that particular municipality. And people are definitely in the very same type of not getting water. Let me give you a project case in Ukraine system. So for that, the higher plan is actually passing a number of villages going more than 50 kilometers away from those villages to supply water to the other aspect of that particular village. And you've got villages that are adjacent to that particular pipeline. And those are very close to that particular dam who are running short of water. It's an issue that I think, like your brain speech, we need to actually take ensure that the infrastructure that needs the community, a particular community, that community is able to do better. We have raised the matter with DWS and we have said to them that because they are the ones who actually constructing bulk water supply, they will have a situation where they contract with the municipality so that the communities around that particular area as well is able to benefit from whatever project that they actually are actually constructing.
I think we as the MPs who are confronted with such situations believe that local government is unfairly tarnished, and this is a matter that needs your attention, and we will support that because lots of water is in private hands and people have no access to water, which is their human right, and this discredits the government, especially local government. So I'm happy you are aware of that, and let's work together to address that situation. Any questions? Your colleague wants to come in before.
Honourable Chair, if I can just start engaging an issue that was raised by an honourable member before with regard to the poor. We understand that we have, like the same that we have in Northwest, where we have a district where we have got serious water challenges, but on average, other than those exceptions, we are, the committee should be aware that municipalities have indigent registers, and people that cannot afford are allowed at least 50 kilowatt hours of free electricity and 6 kilometers of water per month to meet their basic needs. There are municipalities that actually from their own budget exceed that. So the very poorest of the poor don't necessarily need to unlawfully tap into services to obtain services. There are at least some free basic services provided to those poorest of the poor. So we are not leaving them to their own devices. We just want to advocate a responsible use and for communities that have the challenge to come to the municipality and not illegally connect. With regard to electricity, as highlighted by Eskom, it's actually also very dangerous if the community starts tapping into electricity. So we just wanted to make that point. We have free basic services that also address the very poorest, so they're not left without it completely. We should just do it in a proper manner.
I live next to Middle Metaladen, next to Nanguni Den. I had to do 2 boreholes, and when I go home, the community there think that these boreholes belong to government because I work for government, and they demand water from me. And therefore, when I catch this kid stealing, I have a conscientious problem. How do we deal with it? Firstly, they wrongly believe that what I owe belongs to government. Secondly, they say you come from a government that is not providing, and I myself have not been provided for. So I just want to say that we think that SALGA is an important organization that must help local governments to address this matter, because it's a dilemma that people face. The floor is open.
Honorable Ron.
Yes, Chair, firstly, I just want to say you should not shy away from an opportunity to practice Ubuntu, so you should allow the people to come to the
Thank you for that advice.
But secondly, I just want to ask Saga to comment. Eskom also asked for the bringing in of a specific crime in the name of the theft of or the stealing of electricity. Whether to codify this specifically will make any difference, as it is already possible to prosecute people who, through illegal connections, steal electricity. So in a certain sense, why should we make this a specific codified theft if it can be dealt with under current provisions? Thank you.
Honourable Councillor.
Thank you, Doctor. I think we not in a public proposal that we know we need to come up with something to solve the problem. One of the best efforts of public is that we need to ensure that the law enforcement agencies join in the negotiation. Because we've been trying as a council. We've been trying to do this process, but we seem not to be winning it. But that's why our second recommendation is to say that maybe through amendments, we are in the field, let's give power to Metro Police Officers and the public officers, so that at the level of local government, we don't have to wait for South Africa to come in when there's this kind of a criminal situation. We can immediately activate what we have at the disposal of the people that have to run to. That's our point of reference for local government.
Honorable Britain.
Thank you. Your story, Mr. Chair, is a good story to tell. I'm sorry, I missed the portion where you answered why theft of electricity as opposed to ordinary theft would be more effective. If you spun over that again for me. And do you have any information about how successful prosecutions are currently to go to theft of electricity?
Thank you, Chair. Currently, municipalities is very difficult. Pre the constitutional era, municipal bylaws had a provision, reviewing clause, that if there's an illegal connection and illegal use, it's deemed that the owner of the property has taken that. Due to the constitutional provision, that's not possible to include that in your bylaws anymore. So what prosecutors have actually indicated to municipalities, they want proof. The municipality needs to prove who actually did the illegal connection. So you need to catch the red-handed. You can have the legal, and with the current provision, the advice that municipalities were given wrongly or rightly, that is what was shared with municipalities by prosecutors, that you need to catch the people red-handed that do the illegal connections, and that they have challenges with the bylaws, even to say if it's an illegal connection and you benefit from that, you will be not liable for the same. And we have had serious problems in prosecuting that. I'm not really aware of people that's been able to have any successful prosecution in terms of that based on this. As I said, that might be wrong or right arguments by the prosecutors, but that was the attitude that was expressed by prosecutors working with municipalities in trying to enforce their bylaws.
I think it's also even an unfair question to you, because it's different to have information, all the statistics about what's happening at the Justice Committee, but I allowed Honourable Plettenbach to put the question.
Yeah, thank you, Chief. It's a very true, it's an unfair question. It's not dealing with the subject matter. No? I think I've been normal today, Chief.
It's early in the week, so we must tolerate one another.
Thanks. Yeah, we welcome the presentation, Chief. I think the presentation is progressive, but just to take all the issues, to take both the issues at once and create problems with issues around water is a consultation with a lot of other stakeholders. So we may be derailing this one if we involve issues around water because, like you say, there are a lot of challenges and bottlenecks around the water. If we were to further explain around water, we need SARUGA, we need the municipalities, serious consultation must be done. So progressive as it is, I think we'll just have to take one at a time and also be able to monitor implementation at this level. And secondly, we would maybe take it later, but I think it's a well thought presentation because the issue of service delivery protest is just around these two issues. So I think we are moving South Africa forward. Thanks.
Honorable Bredenbach, just to take a deep breath and relax, I will give you more time when you need Honorable Majadi.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I've actually taken note of Honorable Bongo's comment, but wish to just indicate that for the peoples of the justice around the field, we should rather speak to what we have.
Can I just say that I agree with Honorable Bongo and Honorable Majadi, but it is also good that you raise this issue about water, because as committees we also don't work in silos. So we will follow up this matter with the relevant committee in order to do the thing, because it's a serious matter that can discredit government. We can go for elections, people don't come for elections and say, what do we benefit from that? And that will be the beginning of the death of our democratic system. So that's a very important issue to raise. Honorable.
So we want to acknowledge the advice and what you have advised to us. What would you think that when we begin to think of what of such a raising that we have raised today? Like I said, when we actually were invited to come and make a presentation there, so the presentation was as well. Talking to water industry, but that's the advice of other programs for this family. For the purpose of this team, we concentrate on the things that we need to do.
with five. I think we, that was where we already sent a comment. We can still refine our comment and can put the subscription in the method that we actually help in facilitating the implementation of what we need to have.
Thank you very much. Is there anyone from Saragos who wants to say something before we move on? We can assure you that as public representatives, we also have the responsibility to address these issues in communities in support of the challenges that you are facing. Kosatu, is there someone from Kosatu? Any apology from Professor, or have they withdrawn their submission? Curtin, are you saying something?
But Chris Cassad is a member of the Tripartite Alliance, the Honourable Bonga can stand for him.
I think he's wise of Cassad not to present for the sake of presenting. So Honourable Bonga, we don't have also to do that lesson. Thank you very much. This means that we have come to the end of the business of the day, and thank you very much, Legal Aid South Africa. You often appear before us, and we always find your submission very helpful, and keep it up. Salda, we really appreciate your input, and we will take these matters forward. And please keep the issue of water high on our agenda. We have the responsibility to make sure that local government is not discredited by our omission of commission. Thank you very much. I think we can offer you the freedom of the city of Cape Town still early. Thank you.